Right, I think I'm recording now with all these different gadgets on. Thank you guys for just moving over. It's just nice to see people's faces when you're sharing the word of God rather than doing that. You might think I'm dancing or something like that. But it's good to be together this morning, isn't it? And to praise God and to meet with God. And some of those answers were good. You know, these encounters and life-changing things, some can be negative, can't they? And some can be positive. But sometimes in life, things happen that affect us or should affect us in good ways. And sometimes they affect us in bad ways, but we can learn from those areas in our lives. And my own talk has been recently on the last three or four of those people can remember. It's all about encountering God. And we all need a fresh encounter with God because it is life-changing, isn't it? And I asked myself this question, and to you this morning, what happens to an individual or the church that encounters God's presence? You see, like, 3 and 3 make 6, and 2 and 2 make 4. And an encounter with God should bring 3 things, I believe. First of all, a cleansing. Secondly, an empowering by God. And thirdly, there should be a transformation in our lives. Okay? And when I was thinking about this, I remember my own experience was on the 30th of October, 1989, God led me to pray in this building where I was going. And there was just 4 of us in this building praying. And we were praying spiritual warfare, actually, because there was a battle going on. And the next thing, this wind just came in this room and threw me on the floor. I'd never experienced that before. And that was the day then God spoke to me and prophesied over me some words which transformed my life to become a Christian, to follow God and to start planting churches. And the scripture he gave me was from Jeremiah 1, where he said, "Today I've appointed you to tear down, to uproot, to plant." And it goes on, and he touched my lips. And for 1 month afterwards, my lips were on fire. And God said, "I want you to go places." And I said to God, "I don't know, because I'm just a baby Christian." And God said, "Don't worry about that. I'll give you the words to say." Yes. And that was such an empowering encounter and presence with God. Nobody touched me, nobody was pushing me over, anything like that. And the power of God came in the wind of the Spirit. And that was why I'm here today. And the more I thought about it, the more we need to encounter God. Fresh encounters with God, because they are life-changing and wonderful things happen. Now, I'm not saying that my walk with God's been easy, because it hasn't been easy. It's a battle. But God's called us. So even from times that are good, times that are bad, things that go on through your life, the things that you've shared about having and children and stuff like that, it's not our plans, is it? It's God's plans. And when you think the marvellous how Pete and Margie have took their grandchildren on. I'm not going to say, sorry, Mike, at your age, I know what it's like, isn't it? Because you're thinking, I've done this, I'm now going to that. And God's took them back to that for a plan and purpose. Amen. He's allowing that to go on. Yeah. And I think we should give Pete and Margie a big round of applause this morning. Nothing to do with my, but it is, it's wonderful, isn't it, what God does. There were 2 young boys. They were playing in the field, hide and seek. And the first boy leant against this tree, closed his eyes, and he said, I'm counting 200, then I'm going to come and find his friend. So the other boy ran across the field, climbed up the tree, and hid in the tree. And then this guy says, you know, ready or not, I'm coming. And the boy ran straight to the tree, said, I can see you up there. So the boy came down. And he said, right, now it's my turn. So he put his back against the tree and closed his eyes and started to count on it. So this other boy ran back to the first tree and climbed up the tree. And this other guy says, 100, come in, ready or not. So straight away he ran back across to this tree, looked up and saw him up there. So this other boy was watching this. So he came up and said, can I come and play hide and seek with you? And these other boys said, you can't play hide and seek because there's only two trees. These two boys are just falling into the habit of doing the same thing every time. They never looked around to see that there was other places to hide. And I thought, sometimes as a church, we can be like that, can't we? We're creatures of habit. We sit in the same seats. We do the same thing. And we expect God to do the same thing, don't we? If we're truthful. And sometimes I think we should stop playing church in the same old way and just this prayerfully encountering God in the ways that God wants to encounter with us. I remember once, a long time ago, everyone came at Blakewater College and came straight in and sat down. Okay? Normal, isn't it? But nobody actually thought, who puts those chairs out? So one Sunday I said, no chairs. So when people come in, where do you sit? I said, you don't sit, you stand the whole meeting. Their faces were, that's not right. We want our chair and I want to sit where I normally sit and do the same things that we normally do. So sometimes I think we've just got to look at, why do we come on a Sunday morning? Is it just for the same routine and the same things? How many of you here this morning are sitting in the same seats? Who's sitting next to the same people? Who sings the same songs every week? Who prays the same prayer every week? Who makes the same tea every week? You're getting the point. My whole last three preaches, has been about Acts chapter 4. And I've been so excited. Every time I keep looking at it, I'm finding something different about this early church that was fantastic. And if you remember, I've talked over one or two things, but the verse I'm looking at today is just verse 31. And it says this in Acts 4. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were, this word, all, A-double-L, filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. So, when we meet this presence of God, there should be this cleansing, empowering, and transformation. Okay? But God has got some sort of supercomputer making a program response to our input. God can meet and will meet his people in many different ways. And we've got to be open to that. And I've shared before, a few weeks ago, that the encountering the presence of God in the Bible says the manifold presence of God, which means it's a multifaceted, having many different forms and ways that God meets with us. You know, if you cut a diamond and put a light through it, it shines in different ways, it reflects different ways. And that is what it is with God. God meets us in many, many different ways. And we can experience that in different ways and unique ways. See, God is not dead.
Amen.
He's alive. He's alive. Amen. He's a living God that wants to meet with us. And he comes to his people, I believe, powerfully and in different ways. My experiences may be different to yours, but we need to experience more and more the presence of God in our lives if we're serious with him. If you're not serious with him, don't bother coming. Really? Because the truth is, God wants to meet with us. Doesn't he? You know, he doesn't want us just to go through the motions. I don't want a church, or God doesn't want a church that's lukewarm. He wants a church that's seeking him with all their hearts. And putting him first. And praying to him. And wonderful things happen. And see, and I also believe once you've tasted and seen God, there's no going back. Some of you have shared every time you've met with God, wonderful things have happened. I don't know about you, I want more of the presence of God.
Amen,
I want more of the presence of God in this town.
Amen.
Right across this town.
Hallelujah.
People coming to know him from different nationalities, praising him, worshipping him. See, we can learn a lot from the early church. And I'll just recap the first of all. The early church had a divine expectancy when they met. Okay, they earnestly sought God with all their hearts, mind and strength. And he said to them, when there's two or three of you gathered together in my name, what does Jesus say?
Yes.
I'm there with you. I'm with you.
Yes.
And Jesus also taught his disciples and people, whatever you ask in his name, the Father would do.
Amen.
And you see, the early church believed it. And guess what Jesus did? He did what he said he would do.
Yes.
You will heal the sick. Cast out demons.
Yes,
and the New Testament church, we've been doing this recently, is a habit of coming together to pray. See, the early church didn't pray to God just because there was an emergency and dialed 999. Hey, God, we've got problems. Can you help us? No, they went there to pray and join together. They had a habit of praying together. And when they came together, they acknowledged just who God is. See, when we come together sometimes, even on a Sunday morning, We go through some of these motions. We think, hey, we should be shouting out to God, thank you, God, for who you are. Our Thursday night meetings, we start now with putting our focus back on God and who he is and his truth. And we can only do that if we read the Bible, isn't it? So we need that clarity of who God is and praising him and thanking him for who he is.
Yes, yes, yes.
And after that, then they asked what their prayers were, what their requests were. You know, forgive us, heal us, deliver us, etc., etc.
Yes.
This is what the early church did. And God showed up.
Yes.
And they were encouraged.
Yes.
They were excited.
Yes.
You know, when you read that and see what they did and the vast number of people that were saved and added to the church. People got saved, they got trained, they went and planted new churches right across the world, didn't they? And that's what we believe in today. But you see, in verse 31, I like it how Luke says this. After they prayed. After they prayed, then God. Then God did something. And what can we learn from these people to help us to experience the manifold presence of God in similar ways? In James 4, verse 2, it says this, you do not have because you do not ask God.
Right.
Now, I like to look up different translations. And the King James Version said this, ye have not because ye ask not. You have You have not because ye ask not. And that's old-fashioned word, but it's quite a good little catchphrase. And I thought, well, how do we paraphrase that in another way? I believe you miss out on God because you don't spend time talking to God, basically. So we need to make a habit of speaking to God.
Yes.
Talking with God individually and together.
Yes.
And then get ready for what God is going to do. Because God will show up. So Luke records three things that actually happened after the church prayed. I just thought this morning, if this building shook, what would we do? What would we be looking for? Would we be looking for what God wants to say to the church? Or would we sort of rush out or go and turn a television on and think out, was it an earthquake? What did it measure on the Richter scale? How much damage was done around us or our house? Or would we look for what God is doing within his church? Just think that right now, if this building shook, what would we do? Would we all run for that fire door? Leave the kids upstairs, would you still run out? Or would we believe it's God shaking us? You see, when God meets with these people, something happens.
Amen.
And when God shows up powerfully in our lives, there will be evidence of his presence in our lives. And other people will know that we've been in God's presence. Because they can see what God is doing in and through us. You see, when I looked at this thing, when they said the first point was where they were meeting was shaken, what happened to shake that room when those people were there praying? Was it an earthquake? Was it maybe 100 or 200 centurions on chariots charging by, shaking the building? And today, it could be that if something was shaking this building, it could be a supersonic jet, couldn't it? It could be an explosion. Many different things. But you see, how the room was shaken is not really important, but it was shaken. What did the Holy Spirit inspire each of those after it was shaken? Okay? The shaking speaks again to me the reality that God's presence will be known, made in a variety of different ways. Because in Acts 2, we see that it was a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire in Acts 2. Here in Acts 4, it's now the shaking. And if you look at 1 Kings 19, and maybe look at one or two other bits and pieces, it says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Mm-hmm. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Do you understand that? A gentle whisper came. God could have come to Elijah in the wind, because he's used the wind before. With Noah, he sent the wind. with Moses, appeared to be trapped by the Red Sea. God sent a strong wind and made a way of escape. But in Acts 2, a mighty sound of wind. But this time, in this passage, said that God was not in the wind. God was whispering to Elijah. God shook the earth when Jesus was crucified. And 3 days later, there was another earthquake when the tombstone was rolled away. There's many different ways that God manifests his presence to us, and we've got to be open to it. Open to the shaking, the wind, whatever God wants to do. And the question this morning is it's not, will God shake this room when he meets with us, but will we recognise God's presence when he comes to be with us? Can we recognise his presence? I think the church today needs to be reshaken, cleansed with the encounter of God. We need to let God shake us free from the sin that entangles us and then which destroys us. We need to be sometimes shaken from tradition. We need to allow God to shake us until we see that we are a part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken, the Bible tells us. A kingdom that is pure, holy, without spot or wrinkle, and having no need of cleansing. See, God's first thing when he calls us and saves us, he wants us to be cleansed from the old and to be more like Jesus. If you read Hebrews 12, 25 to 29, it tells us about that. It says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. God wants to burn stuff off of us that entangles us. See, God's not a God that just stands there and watches from a distance. He wants to actively cleanse his house, torching everything that needs to be burnt off. And he won't quit, God will not quit, until it's cleansed, till you and I are cleansed. Because God himself is fire. Amen. See, you can't come into the presence of God and remain the same. God will clean his house, yes, to clean you and me from the inside. I don't know about you, I think that's great. At first, I didn't want God to do that in my life. I fought against it because I liked myself as I was and the things I did. But then God started to put his finger and says, I want to get rid of that, and I want to get rid of that, and I want to get rid of that. And the more I learned to be open to God to get rid of, hey, the better it is. See, God wants to cleanse people this morning. He wants to heal people this morning. See, everything in our lives totally will be shaken until only the unshakable remains in us. So are you and I willing to let God have his way today to begin the process of cleansing our hearts so that what remains is a heart that is pleasing to God? That is God's purposes, God's will for our lives. So the first thing is that we will be cleansed when we encounter God. Secondly, it tells me there that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Jesus put it like this. He said, what comes next is very important. This is in Luke 24. I am sending you what my Father promised to you. That is that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So stay in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped with power from on high. You see, you can't be a Christian and function fully unless you've got the power of God in our lives. Because we need to be energized. We need to be dynamite. God empowers us. He equips us. And with God's power, Or without God's power, we can't do anything. He enables us to fulfill his purposes. God's will is done in our lives through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I remember when I first sort of became a Christian, yeah, you can understand in your head, you go to church, you go to Bible study, it was nice, but I would never ever talk about Jesus to any non-Christian people. I was embarrassed. I didn't want them to take the mick out of me. And then one day some people prayed with me and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon me. And it was life changing again. Because after that, God gave me the boldness to share the gospel. And I praise God. I haven't totally lost that, because wherever I am, I will share the gospel. You know, if you ask me what a banana is, I'll turn it into a gospel preach if you wanted to. But because it's a gift that God's given me. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul's not ashamed of the gospel. But it's only because I had the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray every day, Lord, fill me every day so I can be used by you. So I know the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, if we've got a car and you can have a fantastic engine, lots of horsepower, but if there's no petrol in the tank, what's going to happen? John will have to get out and push his car, wouldn't he? That's the same with us. If we don't have the power of God, we're like a car without petrol. And being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues or whatever is not a one-time event. It is a continuous, ongoing, being refilled, it tells us in Ephesians 5. So God's power is an infinite supply. We can tap into it all the time. We can then do what God's will and purposes are. So we need that first filling and that empowering, and then it's ongoing. Because as Christians, like a car with a hole in the petrol tank, we can leak. As we give out, we leak. So we need to be refilled continuously. And then, when we are filled with the power of God, he says to us, and to these guys, you can speak the word of God boldly. Okay. They ask God, would he enable them to speak his truth boldly? And that's what they did. So when you encounter God's presence, you will be transformed. We need to be transformed.
Yes.
Because God's impacted our lives. Moses, when he met with God, what happened? His face was aglow. He had to hide it so that people didn't see it, because I don't know whether that was he didn't want them to see it, or at some point he was losing the glory of God on his face. There's lots of ways. You see, and that song we sing, Shine Jesus Shine, years ago. And God wants us to shine, just like Moses did for him in this dark world today, doesn't he? We may not have the glory on our faces, but there still should be evidence when we encounter with God that he has met with us and there is a transformation that occurs. We know that 2 and 2 is 4, but if you say 2 and 2 is 3, it's the wrong answer, isn't it? If we insist that, we must make sure that the equation is right. 2 plus 1 equals 3. So when we meet with God, there should be a cleansing, an empowering, and a transformation going on in our lives. We need to be changed. Peter was exactly the same. He denied God loads of times. Then, when Jesus was going to be killed, he still denied Jesus. But then, Peter had this lovely presence meeting with Jesus. His life was transformed. He stood up and he preached the gospel the next minute. After denying him, 3,000 people had it. Paul, who was killing Christians, he had this encounter with God on the road to Damascus. He was blinded. So that was a negative for from his first meeting with God. Then his eyes were opened, and that man has been used powerfully to preach the kingdom of God. And God will transform lives
yes.
when the church prays.
Yes.
We will be shaken. And God will remove things that will keep us from being like Jesus. We will be filled with the Holy Spirit. God will empower us to do that which he desires in our lives. We will speak the word of God boldly. God will transform us. We will be changed. And this is the whole thing that I saw about this early church in Acts, with their encountering with God. And my heart is that we will continue to press into God to encounter his presence, be more like Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and go and speak his word boldly, so that those people who are dying and going to hell have an opportunity to be saved and added to God's kingdom. And I believe that God's here this morning. For some, it may be that a first encounter with the living God. For others, it may be for a fresh encounter with God. Because I believe we are all just one step away from a fresh encounter with God, from doing something extraordinary for Jesus and his kingdom. Amen. Let's pray.